タラッタッタッタッタララタラッタッタッタッタララタラッタッタッタッタララタタララタラタラタラタタタラ。
Hello and welcome to 2018. I'm Helen.
And I'm Caroline.
And we love to sew. This is a podcast for makers where we talk about sewing a handmade wardrobe and bring you interviews with inspiring creatives and small business owners in our community.
Today we are talking about our 2018 goals and resolutions.
I think you mean resolutions.
Oh, right. You're right. We have lots of exciting things planned for this year, and we want to chat about how to set sewing goals and give you tips for staying motivated all year long.
Happy New Year!
Happy New Year!
It's 2018.
We're such dorks.
Oh my god.
Okay, are we keeping that?
Absolutely.
Okay, cool.
Awesome. I can't believe it's 2018.
I know. 2017 was an amazing year for both of us, but I have to say, I'm ready for 2018.
You're ready?
I'm ready for the next challenge.
Me too.
I'm ready to set some resolutions.
I'm feeling so good. I mean, I love this time of year. I think we talked about this a bit back in September, but that same feeling of like new beginnings and excitement of all the possibilities of learning new things and doing exciting things and
all
growing
things.
And all the things.
No, but it is. It is such an exciting time of year. And even though it's like the dead of winter up here in the Northern Hemisphere, it's pretty freezing cold in Vancouver. I don't know. I just feel like warm and cozy and excited for what's to come.
Me too.
Yeah. But before we get to that, yes, we have to do some ketchup.
We have some ketchup. Mm-hmm.
I wish we had some ketchup chips, but.
Okay. So the first thing on our list is that we wanted to tell you guys all about this really cool project that Alex from Serendipity is organizing. It's called the Fabric Shopping Project. And here's what she had to say about it. Traveling is my second biggest passion, after sewing, of course, so I'm always thinking about how I can join the two together. What better way to do that than by checking out local fabric shops where I travel and bringing back at least a bit of fabric to remind me of that lovely holiday? Trouble is that sometimes Google is not very helpful. A lot of people in the sewing community have written about places they live or have visited, so I decided to start an index, a repository for as many cities and places as I could find info about, and ask people in the sewing community, with or without blogs, to contribute from their hometown. I'm hoping to grow this with as many places as possible so that when you head on your dream holiday, you already have all the local verified info with all the little gems you might otherwise miss. This is such a good idea.
This is an amazing idea, because do you ever like go to a new place and then Google where to fabric shop in Portland or I don't know, wherever you're going to be going?
Yeah. And it's true. It is hard to find, like the bigger ones often come up, but then there's the little gems or maybe craft stores that also have fabric that don't come up. And so it's just so helpful to have an insider list of places to go and like information about, you know, if you're looking for this specific thing, maybe you really need notions or you really want to, you know, look at upholstery fabrics or something like that. Like fabric stores carry different things and specialize in different things. So I think this is such a cool idea. If you want to help Alex build this fabric shopping project, you can go to her blog, serendipity.com, to learn more and check out all the links for this project.
Yeah, and we'll definitely link that in the show notes for you guys.
For sure.
Okay, we have another exciting thing to talk about, and that is the Sew My Style Challenge.
Yeah!
And I'm going to let you give us a little rundown of what this is, because you are involved this year.
I am. I am so honored to be involved. I remember when this project happened in 2017, and I actually thought to myself in January 2017, like, oh man, wouldn't it be so great to be a part of that project? It would be so cool. And then they asked me to be a part of it, and I felt really, really, really honored. So Sew My Style is a 12-month sewing challenge project where they suggest a pattern every month from a different pattern company. And if you sign up for the challenge, if you get on their email list, they're going to send you a discount code for that pattern. And then everyone's going to sew that pattern in that month. So it's a great tool to help you stay motivated in your sewing if you need that extra level of accountability, if you want to be a part of, you know, a community event like this where other people are making it too. So it really helps you stay on track. And then you also get to save a little bit of money on the pattern. So it's a very cool project. Definitely go check it out. Hashtag SewMyStyle on Instagram.
So what pattern do you have in the challenge and what month?
Okay, so the Suki kimono is the chosen pattern for June.
Oh, so exciting. And yeah, so perfect for June because it's such a great like beach cover up mm-hmm. as well. So.
Yeah, or a light layer for like wearing over your tank top and shorts yeah. in the summer. I got a lot of wear out of my Sukis last year and it's a fun project. So I'm really, really happy that it got chosen. And I will be doing a sew along as well in June for the Suki. So that's really going to help out if anyone, you know, needs a little bit of extra help along the way.
Well, congratulations, Helen. I'm so proud of you. And that is so awesome. You imagined it and it happened.
Yay.
All right. I really wanted to read this comment from Denver Jude. She left it on our Pattern Stash episode. On tracing versus cutting, I trace, make my standard adjustments, fit, make an additional adjustment, transfer that back to my original tape printout in a different color pen, and include date and my measurements at the time. I then store that printed and taped pattern rolled up. It gives me a record of all the adjustments I made from the original for that pattern company's fit on my body at that point in time. If I make that pattern again in the future, I'll know if I need to make any other adjustments based on my current measurements. It reduces the amount of fit fiddling I have to do with a pattern each time. I loved this comment because Denver Jude's approach is so meticulous. She spends a lot of extra time with taking notes and planning and tracing.
Yeah, I love it because your body does change in size. Everyone's does, right? And sometimes it could be years between making patterns. So it's so great to go back and be able to see, oh, at that time my measurements were this. Now I'm 1 inch bigger in the bust. Therefore, I just need to make 1 more inch adjustment and you have a record of what your measurements were at the time. Genius.
Yeah.
We also got a really, really sweet email from Julia. Caroline, do you want to read this one?
Yes, I do. Hi, Helen and Caroline. I just wanted to reach out and thank you both so much for creating the Love to Sew podcast and addressing socializing in one of your first episodes. The past few years since I left my job in the fashion industry, I've been trying to figure out what I want to do with myself and my life. And one of the best things that came from leaving the slog of an awful 9-to-5 was I had more time to sew for myself and others. I slowly realized what I loved most was sharing the joy of sewing by teaching anyone who was interested, like anyone. I'm the dork who fits sewing into every conversation at a bar, party, waiting in line at the store, etc. And I found that teaching was the path I wanted to follow. Honest, if I could just be Lisa Comfort of Sew Over It, it would be a dream come true. Relatable.
Yeah.
Sadly, I'm all alone here at the Jersey Shore as far as sewing friends and decent sewing shops go. Thank God for Instagram friends. But right around the time I decided to say, screw it, I'll just do it on my own, you guys started the location-based hashtag system, hashtag New Jersey Sews, and I found a sewing shop not too far away from me that I had not known about who are in need of a sewing instructor and asked me to come help out. I couldn't be more elated that I'm finally able to teach in a more formal sense, and it's cheesy, but I owe so much of it all to you giggly gals. I also started to host my own local sewing classes and already have a bunch of interest. I'm so excited. Thanks for being you guys and keep on being awesome, Julia. Julia also mentioned in a PS, not that you will read this on the podcast, ha ha ha, but if you do, the girls at Urban Society in Westfield listen to your podcast too, so say hi to the Megans. Hi, the Megans.
Hi, the Megans.
Oh my gosh. When I read this email, I was like practically in tears because like this is really the reason why we're doing what we're doing. We want to connect people in the sewing community. We want to make that easier for you guys. And the location-based sewing hashtag was one of the ways that we thought of that could help you to connect. And this is like a success story yeah. stemming from that. So it's just so exciting to us. And we're just very, very thrilled that you took the time to email in your story. So thank you so much, Julia.
Thank you, Julia. I am so that dork too. That's always
oh, you
like...
so are.
Have you heard of sewing? To every single person I meet. I'm like, no, you could totally do it though.
Okay, so that's it for our catch up today.
Yeah. Well, how are you? Let's have a little personal catch up.
Oh, yeah, sure.
How was your Christmas?
My Christmas was wonderful. It's the first year that I didn't go home to Montreal to see my family for the holidays, so it was a little bit bittersweet. But Shay and I spent some time here in Vancouver, just the two of us, which was just so nice and relaxing. 2017 was a crazy year, and I was ready to just have some like real downtime. And we had a wonderful time. It was just really chill and hung out with our cat and ate lots of good food. And I'm taking the rest of the week off. So I'm just like very happy and relaxed right now.
That sounds wonderful.
Yeah. How about you?
It's been really good. I had some time with Sam, obviously, on Christmas Day. We exchanged gifts and then went over to my parents' house for a big family dinner. I had some family members actually move to Vancouver from Ottawa. So they just arrived like a couple weeks ago. And that was really exciting. They came with their little 3.5-year-old daughter, who's the cutest. So I got to spend time with her over the holidays and invite them into our family Christmas. So that was really special and wonderful. And yeah, I'm not taking any time off. Surprising. But that's mostly just because I don't really feel like it. I'm feeling so pumped these days. I'm like super, super ramped up. I just want to keep on going.
Yeah, I think that's totally fine. Like if you don't feel the need to take the time off, don't force yourself. Just go with the flow.
Yeah.
And do what you got to do.
Yeah, for sure.
That's great. Well, we're going to talk about 2018.
Okay, I wanted to start off this conversation with another email that we got. Hi, Helen and Caroline. Love the show. I was wondering how you, or do you, set sewing goals? At the beginning of 2017, I was feeling really frustrated as a new mom and like I didn't have any time to myself. So I set the goal of trying to sew at least one garment a month. I didn't declare it on Instagram or anything since I'm kind of a commitment phobe when it comes to goal setting, but I'm very happy to say that I actually did it. I'm thinking about next year and wondering about how other sewists set their goals for the year. Or do more people just enjoy sewing when they feel like it? Does anyone have any tips for being realistic about goals? Do you set goals for the whole year or just plan for a season? I thought I'd throw it out there. Thanks again for creating such an awesome podcast. You rock my socks.
And that was Liz writing in.
Yes, that was Liz. Thank you so much, Liz. I loved this email because she made a commitment to herself to do something for her own enjoyment, for her own creative fulfillment, and she did it, and that's amazing.
Yeah. I love that she wrote in about this because we were already planning an episode about making sewing resolutions, so it really tied right in, and I think she touched on a lot of points that we want to touch on today, so I'm thrilled that we get to talk about it.
Yeah, we're going to dive in and answer all of her questions. Okay, Caroline. Are you commitment phobic or commitment crazy?
I think I definitely err on the side of commitment phobic.
Yeah.
Which is funny because what are you, Helen?
I am so commitment crazy. I am a commitment addict, I think.
Oh my gosh. Okay. So when we were chatting about this episode, I like right off the bat was like, I don't make resolutions. I haven't forever. Like I don't remember the last resolution I made. And you said,
I make like 100 resolutions every year. And to be honest, I never stick to all of them. Of course, yeah. I go overboard. I think, you know, it swings both ways. Like you can, you know, not make any resolutions and maybe be a little bit afraid of committing or putting yourself out there as far as like trying to hold yourself accountable to something. But you can also do what I do and make a million of them. And then you're overwhelmed and you're not going to accomplish all of them. So finding a balance.
Yes. I think today we're going to try to find that balance between not setting any resolutions and setting way too many resolutions. And we're going to try to be realistic. And, you know, we're throwing out some ideas. You definitely don't have to make a resolution this year if that's not for you. But for those of you who enjoy setting goals like that at the beginning of the year, this episode's definitely for you.
So one thing that I was thinking about a lot when I was planning this episode is something we've talked about a few times in the show. It's this four tendencies structure from Gretchen Rubin of the podcast Happier.
Yes.
So do you want to give us a rundown of the four tendencies? Because I feel like we talk about it all the time and we really just need to like lay it out there. What is it?
Absolutely. So Gretchen Rubin is an author and she also has a podcast called Happier, as you mentioned, which we both love. And I'm just going to read a little bit about the four tendencies. So What are the four tendencies? It distinguishes how people tend to respond to expectations. Outer expectations, like a deadline, a request from a sweetheart, and inner expectations, like write a novel in your free time or keep a New Year's resolution. So there are four tendencies, and you will most likely fit into one of those four tendencies. And there's a quiz online that you can take to help you figure out which one you are, but I'll give you guys a little rundown of each one. So there's upholders, and they respond readily to outer and inner expectations. So those are like the overachievers that don't need any outer accountability.
Super type A.
Yeah. There are questioners. So they question all expectations. They'll meet an expectation if they think it makes sense. Essentially, they make all expectations into inner expectations.
Mm-hmm. And are always asking like, why would I do that? What's in it for me? Or what's the benefit? Or is that, you know, worth my time? A lot of questions.
Yeah. So if a questioner does the research and figures out that they do agree with that expectation, then they'll do it. But if they don't, then they won't.
Yeah.
Obligers. So Helen and I are both obligers. We meet outer expectations, but struggle to meet expectations we impose on ourselves.
Yeah.
And then finally, there is the rebel.
Dun, dun, dun.
Rebels resist all expectations, outer and inner alike. So if you tell a rebel that they need to do something, the likelihood is they're not going to want to do it. They just rebel against everything.
Yeah. The only time that they're going to want to do something is if they have come up with the idea themselves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. My sister is a rebel, and it is a difficult personality to deal with because they are doing everything on their own terms. But it's just so interesting to have a rebel in my life, because after learning this framework, I've sort of learned how to deal with that type of person, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
So understanding this personality framework for me personally has really changed my life in the way that I approach my relationships with people. If I have a better understanding of their tendency, then I have a better understanding of them, and it helps me to, you know, deal with those relationships better.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that was Gretchen's goal with creating the framework, and I've same thing, found it really interesting to think about the people in my life and which tendency they are. And obviously it's a very complex framework. We've broken it down to, you know, a few simple points, but it would be very interesting for you guys to take the quiz and think about how you process expectations, especially around things like resolutions, because not everybody can just say, I'm going to do X and then go and do it. You might be the kind of person who needs someone to hold you accountable. You might be the kind of person who really strongly resists expectations and needs to find other ways to motivate yourself. So it's interesting to explore these ideas.
Yeah, definitely. And it's all about knowing yourself better, right?
So you're an obliger with a rebel streak.
Yeah, I definitely have a rebel streak, and I'm not really sure where that comes from, but there are times when I will know that I need to do something or know that I should do something for whatever reason. And I just kind of rebel and tell myself, like, I don't need to do anything that I don't want to do, and I'm an adult and I can make my own decisions and everyone else can just deal. And I definitely have moments like that, but overall I think I'm an obliger. If somebody else is relying on me, even though I'm a procrastinator, I do get the thing done on time, versus like I don't really work far in advance, and I don't really get that much done if it's just like an inner expectation. So like going to the gym, or I don't know, if I just tell myself that I want to sew like four things this month, like it probably won't happen unless I told somebody else.
Yeah. Or we have a sewing day where you're committed to being there doing sewing.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm more of a obliger with an upholder streak.
Yeah.
And it's interesting because from looking at it from my business and my blog perspective, I think I look like a major upholder because I'm always like, I'm going to do this, and then I just do it. But I feel like I've made a commitment to the community, and that's the obliger coming through. And that even though the community is not going to get mad at me if I don't post my Wednesday weekly. I made a commitment to them, and that's how I'm keeping myself accountable.
Yeah, I think the Wednesday weekly is an excellent example because you've done it every week. And I mean, you've set that expectation for yourself, but also, you know, you've committed to it. You've told people like, I'm going to have this as a weekly thing. It's called the Wednesday weekly, yeah, right?
It's right in the name.
Yeah. So that is your outer accountability that you need to get it done. And you have consistently been doing it, you know, almost every single week since you started. So good on you for that.
Thank you. So as far as making sewing resolutions for yourself, if you want to bring that back to the tendencies and think about how you're going to accomplish your sewing goal, knowing your framework. So like we said, as an obliger, it's really helpful to have a sewing day with friends that you know you're going to have to sew for, or have an event that you're sewing something for that has to be done before that event, or a gift that you want to give somebody, something like that that's going to hold you accountable.
That is one of the reasons why I sew the most during sewing days and right before I go on like a holiday or a trip.
Yeah.
It's because, I mean, sewing days, we come in and we're there just to sew and everybody's doing it. So it's like, I kind of have to do it and I enjoy it, but it forces me to get everything together that I need to, you know, sew on that day. And same thing with going on a trip. I know a lot of people get that bug right before they go on a trip to sew. So for me, I think like, I'm really going to want to wear this thing on that trip. So I'm going to sew it, even if it's at the last minute. That trip is that like outer accountability that I need to sew.
Yeah.
Yeah. So knowing what you need to, like the different things that you need to put in place to achieve your goals is really helpful. And I encourage you to check out the show notes, go take the quiz, figure out your personality framework. And I mean, we love the Happier Podcast. So I know we've plugged this a bunch of times, but you guys should definitely go listen to it if you haven't already.
For sure.
All right. So let's talk about our own experience with
setting goals.
Yeah.
Sure. I mean, I set a big one for myself a couple of years ago saying I was going to make one thing a week for a year. And then I did that for 2 years.
Which is crazy.
I mean,
one thing a week is a lot. And you have done it. You've consistently done it while you were working full time. You did it. You're still doing it now. I mean, sometimes probably more than one thing a week.
Yeah. Sometimes more, for sure.
Helen's a sewing addict.
I am such a sewing addict. And I get comments pretty frequently about it because it's a lot. Like, I know one thing a week is insane. It's a lot of clothes, right? Mm. People are like, what do you do with all of those clothes? And I do purge a lot. I get rid of things that don't work because not every project works out and not everything ends up being my style. And I'm in a constant state of experimenting with my personal style. So things come and go a lot. I don't have a closet full of everything I've ever made. But I think, you know, it's that Malcolm Gladwell's 10,000 hours thing. Like, if you want to be really amazing at something, you have to practice a lot. Like, you have to put in the time and put in the effort. And it doesn't matter whether it's sewing or painting or playing a musical instrument or writing or running or anything, you have to put in the time. And with sewing, there is this physical output that happens. Mm-hmm. But I don't really view that as a negative thing because I want to be amazing at sewing. And I feel like I'm finally getting there, you know?
Yeah. And I think like sewing brings you joy, right? Why would you slow down your sewing output or stop yourself from sewing one thing a week just because you feel guilty about, I don't know, the physical garments that come along with it as a result of sewing so much? So I think if you approach it with a mindset of you're perfecting your craft, you're practicing, you're learning new things every time, you're figuring out your personal style, I don't know. I don't think that it's anything to feel guilty about. And I think that there are all different ways to approach the sewing practice. And this is just one of those ways.
Yes. Thank you. I really appreciate that. And I don't think that I'm holding myself necessarily to one thing a week anymore. It's just, it's really become part of my life mm-hmm. that I sew a lot. And so one thing a week has kind of become my regular output.
Yeah.
It's not really something I have to push myself towards. But I will say that for the first 3 months of my blog and trying to do one thing a week, I had like breakdowns.
Yeah.
Like, I was in tears some weeks trying to get it done, trying to get the thing done, trying to photograph it, trying to get it up on the blog. And looking back on that, I think it's a bit silly to put myself through that when I didn't really have any reason to. But yeah. I'm also glad I did because I held myself to a pretty intense goal and I accomplished it.
Yeah, I think it's interesting how you said that it's just a part of your life now. And I think that for any listeners out there who are really wanting to make sewing a bigger part of their life and really incorporate it into their everyday life, setting a challenge for yourself, like finishing one garment a week, is a challenging way, but it is a way to incorporate sewing on a more regular basis into your life. It's almost, you know, you're forcing yourself to figure out those little pockets of time on the day to day when you can sew. And then after a year or 6 months or however long you want to do it for, it might be easier for you to wrap your head around incorporating sewing into your everyday life.
Yeah, for sure. It's like building any habit. You have to chip away at it very steadily.
Yeah.
There's all sorts of stats out there, but people say you have to do something like for 3 months or something straight to make it ingrained in your daily activity or your daily life. And even then, once you pass the 3 month mark, you do have to keep going. It's not magic, right? But it does feel a lot more natural to me now. And I am always finding little pockets of time here and there that I can work on my projects.
Yeah. And I can't remember where I heard this recently. It was probably on a podcast, but the idea of January 1st, I think some people rebel against the idea of setting a resolution. But if you're facing the facts, January 1st is like a new beginning. And a lot of the time people need that fresh start and that new beginning to form new habits. It's almost like a shift in your mindset where you're like, okay, January 1st, that's the day when I'm going to start doing this every day or every week or whatever. It's a way to kind of like refresh your mind and just start something new. So try to look at it as a positive thing versus like, oh gosh, I have to make this resolution. And what if I don't stick to it?
You know,
think of it as a new beginning.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
How about you with your previous sewing goals?
You know what? I am not a resolution person, as I mentioned, and I have never set any kind of goals in terms of sewing for myself. I mean, I've definitely had outer expectations in terms of jobs or commitments that I've made where I've had to pull through and follow through on something. But in terms of personal sewing, I have not really made any goals. And I think I'm ready to this year. I'm feeling like I want to put some things down on paper and set some real goals for myself and try to achieve them because that feels good, right?
Yay!
It's a nice feeling to be able to set a goal for yourself and then actually achieve it and be able to celebrate that achievement. So I'm looking forward to doing that. And I'm looking forward to you holding me accountable.
It's going to be great.
I need that outer accountability.
The right person to hold you accountable.
I know you are. And I'm excited. And this podcast too. I mean, we're going to be recording every week, so we'll check up on our goals.
Okay. So what is your sewing goal for the year then?
Okay. I don't think one thing a week is realistic for me, but one thing a month is totally doable.
Yeah. Like Liz did.
Yeah. And I want to stipulate that I won't count the simple stuff, like the confidence booster projects, like sewing a pair of undies or a knit top or a pair of leggings, the kind of thing that you can do in an hour. I mean, that doesn't count. So I'll still do those things, which I kind of do anyways. But the one thing a month will be like a bigger project. For example, a coat or a pair of jeans or a bathing suit or, I don't know, some kind of athletic wear or something like that, that takes some special techniques that I haven't done before. Or like, I want it to be a challenge or something that will feel like an accomplishment every month. So I think to make this a reality, I definitely have to do some planning. So I have to sit down and think about what I want, what I need, what my wardrobe needs, and really plan out one garment a month. I don't think I'm going to pick a pattern for every month right off the bat because new patterns come out all the time, but I will think of a type of garment for every month.
I love that idea, like picking, say for January, a coat, and then February, maybe jeans, and then March, you know, it's starting to get a little bit warmer. So maybe you make like a cardigan and you just sort of choose a general subject matter for that month.
Yeah. And I think that will also help me to be more realistic with my planning and also smart with my planning, because I'm the type of person that tends to, you know, plan to sew a swimsuit in August, you know? So really thinking about the year ahead, what I have going on and the seasons, I can try to plan ahead more and sew a garment a little bit in advance of a season so that I can get a lot of wear out of it. So I'm really excited to plan this out and hopefully achieve my goals.
I think you totally can. A thing a month is an excellent place to start for sewing goals. I mean, even like you said, you were personally going to exclude the easier projects, but for you new beginners out there, if you just started with sewing, a t-shirt or a pair of leggings is a totally great project. You can definitely work those in there for your 12 months and then maybe give yourselves like a balance between the tricky ones and the easy ones.
Definitely. Mm-hmm. Okay. So I did want to also touch on time suckers. Yeah. Helen did most of the planning for this episode, as she always does, because she's our planner. And you wrote down Instagram, Netflix, naps, etc. I like died laughing when I read this. And then I sent Helen a message and I was like, did you read my mind? Like, these are literally like in three words, my three time sucks. Instagram, Netflix, naps. So yeah, I mean, how can we acknowledge and manage these time sucks? Do you have any ideas for me? Because they really do. They take up some time.
I mean, there's room for these things in your daily life. Yeah. 100%. I love Instagram. I love Netflix. And I actually don't love naps, but I know you love naps. Oh, I love naps. I'm not a napper. But I think there's a place for these in your life. But the problem comes when there's another goal that you want to accomplish and you're constantly sort of telling yourself that you wish you could exercise or you wish you could sew more, but you don't have any time, which is a lie.
Yeah.
Because there are these things, these time suckers that you're spending your time on. Mm-hmm. So sometimes it's helpful to acknowledge that you're spending your time on these things or make yourself more aware of the amount of time you're spending on these things so that you can see how much time is going towards which thing and then make the decision to take that time and spend it some other way. Mm-hmm. So you can track your time spent on these things using time tracking apps. There's a few of them out there, especially if you want to track your time on Instagram. You can try to be more cognizant of the amount of Netflix you're watching. Sam and I have this really bad habit of eating dinner in front of the TV and turning on a show and eating dinner, which takes about like 15 minutes to eat, and then sitting there for the rest of the show, which is another 45 minutes. And
we do the same thing.
And then you're kind of sleepy after you've sat there for an hour and you just watch another episode. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've all done it, right? So maybe acknowledging like triggers for you. Like if I didn't sit and eat dinner in front of the TV, then I wouldn't be like stuck there for an hour watching an episode. So I might have more time to do a little project or, you know, like a part of a project.
Yeah. And I think that even those small chunks of time make a difference. So if you're like, well, I only have 30 minutes left before I have to go to this thing, and I mean, I might as well just sit down and watch Instagram stories. That's me every day. But honestly, those 30 minutes can be spent taping together a PDF pattern or pulling the different things that you need from your stash to make your next project or just cleaning your dang sewing room, you guys. Mm. Like that is also kind of like a block for some people. We were like, oh, it's so messy in there. I don't even want to go in there. I can't deal with it. Like spend those 30 minutes cleaning so that it's like fresh and ready for you when you have an hour next time to sew, mm-hmm. you know? So it doesn't have to be a long stretch of time. It can be those little pockets of time that you just utilize in a smarter way.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. But I do want to say I am a huge fan of naps and Netflix and Instagram. And we're not trying to guilt anybody into like thinking that that's not a good use of your time. You have to decide what's right for you and your personality and your lifestyle and what you want to do in your heart. So mm-hmm. just think about that. It's all about thinking about it and figuring out what is right for you.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so how do you work sewing into a busy schedule?
That's hard, right? I struggle with that all the time. I think a dedicated sewing space is a big one. So if you can figure out a way to have a small table where your sewing machine is always set up so you don't have to pull it in and out, or just setting up a little corner that just feels like a space for, you know, creativity and sewing and making can really help to put you in the mood and the mindset. And also it's a visual reminder of this hobby that you love and that you want to be doing more often.
Yeah. It can be as simple as having a surface that doesn't have any stuff on it because, you know, house gets really messy. There's maybe toys everywhere or something on every surface and there's just nowhere to put your sewing machine. Yeah. So it's hard to get over that roadblock of setting everything up. But if you just have a surface that you keep clean, that can be super helpful. Another thing that I did once, because I don't have like a dedicated sewing room, I have to get my stuff out and put it away because we use our kitchen table. So what I did is I timed myself setting up my sewing room. I got out my sewing machine, my serger, my iron, turned it on, put the water in, got out the fabric and all, you know, my scissors and everything that I needed. And it took 15 minutes. Mm-hmm. So like, it's a roadblock to getting started sometimes, but knowing how much time it was going to take was super helpful. I'm like, okay, if I have 30 minutes, I can actually get everything out. So a couple of seams, like
that's a great strategy. I've seen some people do that with like cleaning or folding laundry, yeah. Like just set a 20-minute timer and see, or cleaning your kitchen, like see how far you can get. And it's amazing, like these tasks that feel like these huge hurdles where you're like, oh, I could never get all of this done in 20 minutes, really don't take that long at all. It's more of a mental block.
Yeah.
So this is an excellent strategy.
Thank you.
Yeah. And then just taking things on in small steps, right? Is
love
a big
this.
Thing.
Trimming off the edges of your PDF pattern, taping it together, ironing your fabric so it's ready to be cut can mm-hmm. be a separate step from cutting it out. You know, breaking it down, especially the prep work part of sewing, because we all know that the preparing of the pattern and the cutting of the fabric is a huge part of this hobby
yeah.
that takes up a lot of time and effort. So if you can break those steps out and not include them in this daunting task of making a whole garment, then you might find it easier to get things done.
Yeah. One thing that I've been doing is that when I take a new piece of fabric home, I put it in my laundry basket right away mm-hmm. so that next time I do laundry, because we have to go down to like a common laundry room in our building, I have the fabric piece right there and I'm like, okay, I'm pre-washing this now so that when I actually want to do that project, I'm not like, oh, I need to spend 2 hours pre-washing this fabric now. And that's another roadblock that would be like, oh, I'd rather not. And I'll just watch Netflix instead, you know?
Yeah.
So setting yourself up for success in that way.
Absolutely. Being prepared is huge. Like not only having your fabric ready, but having everything else you need, having the thread. When you're in the store, I always buy my fabric and then I go to the thread area and I buy thread for all the fabric that I'm purchasing, because I know that if I don't have the thread, I'm never going to make the thing
yeah.
or go back to the store to get the right thread. It's like a whole thing. So yeah. being prepared, getting your zipper, getting your thread, getting making sure that you have like some elastic on hand, just any sewing tools that you use on a regular basis. If you have a store of them, then you're never going to have to let that be a hang up in your process.
Yeah. And then Jess in episode 21 was talking about how she has to plan her projects or they just won't get done. And we love this idea. So you can decide ahead of time what needs to be done and on what day to get a project done by a certain time and put it down on paper in your planner, on your GCal, you know, on a piece of scrap paper that you tape to your wall or whatever. Just plan it out mm-hmm. so that you know exactly all the different steps that need to get done.
Do you know what I use for this?
What?
Trello.
Oh, the Trello queen over here.
You guys, I use Trello to organize my sewing planning because you can drag the cards from one list to another. So I have like a list for the things I want to make. And then next to that, I have a list that's titled gathering supplies. And then next to that, I have a list that's titled washing fabric, prepping pattern, cutting out fabric, sewing, photographing,
and
blogging.
Is it a checklist?
Basically, they're like columns that you drag things into. So if I have, say, ginger jeans and I want to make lists, then I might pull it over into my gathering supplies list. And then once I have all the supplies, I'll pull it over into my pattern prep list. And once the pattern's ready, cut out, taped, ready to go, I'll pull it over into cutting. And then I'll cut it out. And then it like I'm checking this list every few days and moving things along. And then I also have my photographing and my blogging list at the end so I can know which items I've completed that maybe haven't been photographed yet, and then which items haven't been blogged yet.
I love this.
I'll put a picture in the show notes.
You have to, and you're going to have to do like a little show and tell in Instagram stories.
I will. But I love Jess's idea of using a physical planner for this because it's so nice to have that physical thing that you can flip through and hold, and you can do little sketches and have a lot of fun with it. So planning things out, breaking it down into the steps involved so that you know, Tuesday night, I'm going to cut out that project. And it's not as overwhelming as being like, oh, I have to make that coat. When am I going to make that coat?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're breaking it down into smaller steps. Love it. All right. Another tip that we have for how to work sewing into your busy schedule is to be prepared. So you sort of touched on this already, but get all the little bits that you need for your project and keep them together in one place. So if you know you want to make a coat and you have the outer fabric, figure out what lining you want to use, purchase it, the matching thread, the buttons, like go through the list of what you need, gather it all and keep it in one place.
Yeah, I love this. Like a sewing bin. Amanda was talking about sewing bins in her episode. Mm-hmm. And I use plastic bags because I use plastic bags for all my fabric. So I just have bags for my projects as well and put everything in there.
Love it. Mm-hmm. And the other thing is be realistic, you guys.
Yeah. We all get overwhelmed and overexcited about all of the things we're going to make. Having a list of 20 things you want to make in January, even for me, that's insane. So you need to pare it down. Pick your favorites, focus, try to like strike the right number for your lifestyle, and then go from there. Okay. So another thing that I wanted to talk about was increasing your sewing output. So if you are like me, Helen here speaking, and you want to make one thing a week or two things a week, you want to make all the sewing things, you have a million ideas. If you want to just go all in and get things done fast and efficiently, we have some tips for you.
Yes, we do. So the first tip that we have is to batch tasks. Mm-hmm. What does that mean?
Basically, much like you would be breaking your sewing down into the steps, you take that step and you do it for multiple projects. So I will have nights where I'm just taping PDF patterns together and I'll do like five of them. And then I'll have nights where I'm just cutting out projects and I just cut out a whole bunch of projects. Ideally, if you're cutting out the same project, say you want to make three ebony tees so that you have a bunch of nice like knit shirts to wear, then you're working with the same pattern. So you only have one pattern out so you don't get confused and it's easier to just like batch the tasks. So especially handy if you're making a bunch of one thing, but you can do it with multiple things as well.
Yes, I've done that before with t-shirts. So I've cut out some plantain tees and some Mandy Boat tees and I sewed them all in the same day because then you have the same needle in your sewing machine. You've got your serger set up. You're like in the mindset of like, okay, now I'm doing the neck binding and now I'm doing the hem and I've got my twin needle ready to go. And it just is easier to accomplish more in less time when you're doing the same type of task.
Absolutely.
Okay. Cutting corners.
Literally cutting corners.
Literally cutting corners.
Okay. I thought it would be fun to confess our like bad sewing habits and how we maybe cheat a little bit while we sew.
I have a confession to make. I have a few confessions to make. This is really bad though.
What is it?
So I was so excited to make a sweater last week that I didn't pre-wash my fabric. Oh my God.
I know.
And now I think I'm just not going to wash that sweater.
Caroline.
I'm just going to like, I'll just spot clean the armpits. Oh,
I do that.
No, but this was bad. I wouldn't normally do this, but I was just so excited and I wanted to sew it right then and I didn't want to pre-wash, like wait to pre-wash the fabric.
It was a knit fabric, so yeah, maybe it won't shrink.
It's gonna shrink too much. But aside from that,
we don't recommend this.
No, we definitely don't do this. But anyways, the other thing that I tend to do to cut corners is knit garments. I just serge for everything.
Yeah. I think that a lot of people do that. Faster. It does make it faster. If I'm stabilizing, I might use my sewing machine, but I've definitely done that. You just serge. It's pretty satisfying.
Yeah, it really is.
One thing I do with knits is I don't pin.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Like I might pin one in the middle just to like keep it together, but I'll just hold it with my hands. I don't know. It's something about knits that lends itself well to not pinning.
Yeah. Any other ones?
I mean, I have a bad habit of not cutting notches.
Oh, yeah.
Which is pretty bad considering I'm a pattern designer. And I do believe in the importance of a good notch. They're very helpful for people lining up things and figuring out which pieces go together. But if you are familiar enough with a pattern, there's some notches that you just don't need. And this is something that will come with time and experience. There are some notches that you do need because there are areas in garments where ease needs to be distributed appropriately to make things lie flatter or to make things fit better. But there are some notches on garments that are just there to help you line up certain pieces or know which pieces go together. And if you already know those things, then you don't need to cut those notches. I also sometimes sew over my pins.
I do that too.
You're not supposed to.
No,
I definitely break needles.
I haven't had much like needle breaking experience with this, but I mean, I should be careful what I wish for because it'll probably happen now. Yeah, those are both like terrible, Helen. I'm
terrible.
So ashamed of you. No. Actually, the notches one. What are some examples, just for anybody wondering at home, of notches that you don't want to skip? I would say armhole.
Yes, because you don't want to get the wrong sleeve on the wrong armhole. Yeah. So the front and back notches on the armhole are very helpful. Yeah. Also, if there's any ease that needs to be distributed through the top of the cap of the sleeve, then you want those notches there so you get that on there, right?
Especially for tailored garments, that would be the case. Yeah.
Yeah. Neck bands, like for example, the Blackwood cardigan has a band down the front and around the back neck. There's some ease that needs to be distributed so that the neck band doesn't like sort of stick up and it lies flat against your neck. Mm-hmm. So that would be another example of one. Mostly the ones I skip are usually like along the side of a long dress or a pair of pants. There might be some notches to help you just get it lined up properly.
Or like an underarm sleeve, like the sleeve, the inside of the sleeve.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, down the seam of the sleeve. Yeah. There's not too many. Some patterns have more notches than others. Some of them notch like the seam allowance. I never cut those ones.
Yeah. That's an industry thing.
Oh, is it?
Like if there's an abnormal seam allowance. So for example, like a hemline, let's say it's a 1-inch hem, there would be a notch on the side seam at 1 inch so that you know that it's a 1-inch hem.
Oh, okay.
Versus like the, you know, half inch or whatever the standard is for seam allowance. So
yeah.
Yeah.
I cut things out pretty messily. I'm not like a super precise cutter. I'm careful about the grain line because I do think that's really important to get things on grain. Otherwise, they just don't hang properly. So I always make sure it's on grain, but then I might put like 2 pattern weights down and like kind of hold it down with my hand as I cut along the side with my rotary cutter.
Yeah.
And I don't really worry about like jagged edges because I know I'm going to serge them off anyways. And I'm just not that fussed about
precise cutting. Like, and I think you can probably relate to this. I generally like looser fitting garments. So a couple millimeters here and there are not really going to make a huge difference for fit.
Yeah.
If you're more into the fitted garments, then precise cutting would be more important, I think, in that case.
Yeah, for sure. The other tip I have for increasing your output is to make some simple projects. Let yourself have those moments where you get to just make something easy, something familiar, something fun and fast, quick and dirty.
Yeah, those palette cleansing, kind of confidence boosting projects are really great to squeeze in between the more challenging ones. I think that's a great idea. And it also is like a way for you to increase your sewing output because you're like, okay, this took me forever, but now let me like bust out 3 t-shirts and feel really good about myself.
Yeah. And it goes a long way to having that dream handmade wardrobe that I think a lot of people want to make their own clothes and want to make their whole wardrobe. And a great way to accomplish that goal is to make knit things because you are going to wear them a lot.
Yeah. I have to say, I love sewing knits. It's what I sew the most of. It's what I wear the most of. I think it's a huge confidence boost because they're fast and easy and fun and comfortable to wear. So I'm a huge fan of sewing knits.
Knits, knits, knits,
knits, knits, knits. Okay, let's talk about actually setting sewing goals. How do we set our sewing goals?
I like to plan per season. Liz was asking us in the email about whether or not we plan like the entire year in advance or just the season or just the next couple weeks or whatever, right? Mm-hmm. I like to do a little bit of the whole season and then a little bit of like just the upcoming few weeks. So I have, you know, really concrete idea of projects I'm going to be working on next, and then a general idea of what I want to make for that season. Mm-hmm. And then I dabble in the year planning, but I've never really found that I want to make the same things 9 months from planning it in advance or 12 months or whatever.
Yeah.
So it's hard for me to plan out that far in advance. What about you?
I mean, I've already mentioned I'm not a big planner, so I haven't really done a ton of setting goals in terms of sewing. But for me, I think I've always been a sew on a whim type of person, and I look forward to making more goals, more concrete goals for the coming year. And I think I will, like I mentioned, I want to do one thing a month. So I'll try to plan a year ahead, but I'm going to give myself a little bit of flexibility there in terms of switching things up as long as I do one thing a month.
Yeah. I like that for sure.
Yeah. So Helen.
Yeah.
I want to know about like the buying aspect of this. So do you ever like overbuy because you have the intention to sew all the things?
100%. Yes. Big time.
Yeah.
I mean, Caroline's laughing because she knows this about me, because obviously she sees my orders from her store, and I often will buy the same fabric in three different colors with the intention of making something three different times and having like a different look for each one. And I get really carried away when I get super into a pattern and I want to make 10 of them, which is silly because I don't actually really want 10 of them, but I get overly excited about things. Mm-hmm. And I definitely overbuy. And I think that is one thing that can be a little bit dangerous when you're planning so far in advance. If you go out and buy all of the materials, I mean, we're obviously telling you guys to be prepared and to have all of the things that you need for your projects, but I would suggest not buying too far in advance, because mm-hmm. your likes and dislikes or your desires will change. There'll be new patterns. So it's good to plan a little bit, but maybe save the buying part of that planning until you're ready to actually sew the thing.
Yeah. You can plan to buy.
Yeah.
So you can say, all right, in June, I know I want to make a Suki kimono for Sew My Style. So that means I should order the fabric in May.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
So yeah, try to think about it that way.
Mm-hmm.
And what about getting overwhelmed by choices and decisions? That can be a tough one too, right?
Especially depending on your personality type, because some people are going to be happy to have lots of decisions and choice. And for some people, that's going to be overwhelming in a negative way, mm-hmm. that it's going to stall them from making any decision or ability to follow through with anything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't get overwhelmed by choices, but I think you do.
I do. I get excitedly overwhelmed. And it's kind of a hard feeling to describe. I'm hoping some of you guys can relate to this, that like I start planning and it's this rabbit hole of planning and I get so excited to the point where I'm like a little bit freaked out by how excited I am. Like I start to get a little bit freaked out and like I can't sleep because I'm thinking about all the things I want to make. Oh my God. I'm going to have a vulnerability hangover from this episode.
No, I think it's relatable. And we are really different in this way. So I think people are going to see both sides of it. And like, this is just the way you are. You got to accept it. You got to go with it. It's okay.
My Trello boards are helping. They're helping.
You're really, I'm going to have to get on Trello soon, honestly. I mean, you're selling it. You really are. Okay. So one thing you can do to help with your planning is really decide on what you want and what you need.
Yes.
The need part is important because I think this is a cool hobby in the sense that it can also be really practical, right? Like if you're thinking, I really need a coat, I can make a coat. I mean, that's an amazing thing. So if you can somehow make sewing also a way for you to fill holes in your wardrobe in like a really practical sense, I think that'll be another way to motivate you to sew more, because you're like, well, I really want this coat. I need this coat. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to sew this coat.
Yeah.
As an example.
We keep using coat as an example. I feel like someone wants to make a coat.
I really want to make a coat. All right. So one thing you can do is look at your closet and your lifestyle. And we did talk a lot about this on our capsule wardrobe episode. So go check that one out. I think it was episode 15.
Yeah.
And we'll link it in the show notes. This process can be eye-opening. So yes. We definitely recommend it.
Especially if you break it down to percentages of how much time you're spending in the office, how much time you're spending at home, how much time you're spending out and about. All of these things you need different outfits for, slightly different outfits for at the very least. So it's important to know what percentage of your wardrobe should be for what thing. Mm-hmm. Okay, the other thing I really want to encourage people to do is to challenge yourself. We're talking about resolutions. Part of the joy of making a New Year's resolution is to dream big and is to take the opportunity to challenge yourself to do something new. So not only do we want to sew more, do we want to grow our wardrobes, but we also, I hope, want to level up our sewing skills a little bit. Mm-hmm. So I think at least, you know, a couple times this year, try to challenge yourself to make something that's outside of your comfort zone. Whether you're a total newbie and you want to try to take on something like a simple t-shirt so you can experiment with sewing with knits, or you're a more advanced sewist and you want to try something like an underwire bra, pick a project or two that are going to push you out of your comfort zone. Mm-hmm. Do it for me, you guys.
And remember, you can do anything. So
you can do anything.
All right. So let's talk about some actual, like, tangible sewing resolutions that our listeners can set for themselves. Let's give some examples.
Okay. Obviously, making X number of garments per time frame. Yep. So, like, you want to make one thing a month. I have done one thing a week in the past. You could do one thing every 2 months. You could do one thing per quarter, whatever is really going to work for you, one thing per season.
Another example would be something like a ready-to-wear fast. Mm-hmm. So if you decide that you don't want to shop anymore this year, or you don't want to shop at all for ready-to-wear garments and you want to make everything, that's a great goal to set for yourself.
I've seen a lot of sewists do this in the past, and you can set your own parameters for this one. So maybe you exclude shoes and underwear, for example, or you might go all in and just have no ready-to-wear and just work with what you've already got. I love this challenge because not only does it encourage you to make your own clothes because you kind of have to out of necessity, but it also encourages you to look at what you have and appreciate what you already own.
Yeah, consume less, work with what you already have in your closet. Mm-hmm. And I think you'll find that you have more than you think you do. Mm-hmm. And it feels good to kind of utilize what you already have.
Yeah, and it doesn't have to be a full year. If you just wanted to do this for 3 months, 6 months, something like that, just to challenge yourself a little bit, get your juices flowing, I think that would be cool too.
Mm-hmm. All right. Another example would be like a fabric or pattern buying ban.
I mean, I don't even want to tell people to do this, but
I know I don't advocate it.
Just kidding. No, a lot of people do this, and for good reason. It's like Shay said, you should probably use the things you have before you buy more.
Thanks, Shay.
It's another way that you can appreciate the things that you have and consume less, just mm-hmm. like the ready-to-wear ban. So maybe you stall on buying fabric for a little bit so you can use up some of the stuff in your stash. If you're having those feelings of guilt and overwhelm with your stash, maybe this is a good one for you to use some of those fabrics. There's probably lots in there that you love and would love to see made up into something.
Yeah. If you want to do sort of like a fabric or pattern buying ban light,
yeah,
then you could do something like a one thing in, one thing out. So if you want to buy a piece of fabric, then first you need to use a piece of fabric from your stash, something like that.
That's a good one. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Or another like light version would be only buying fabric or patterns for a project you're going to make like tomorrow, mm-hmm. you know, like having really a concrete plan before you buy so that you're not just buying things for the stash.
Yeah. Love it. Mm-hmm. Okay. Another one would be something a little bit more selfless. So you could set a goal for selfless sewing. Mm-hmm. Like for me, maybe I should set the goal of sewing more things for my lovely boyfriend, Shay.
I have that goal this year. I have, we're going to talk about some of the sewing challenges that are happening in the year later on. And I'm going to use one of those to make Sam some clothes. So I'm very excited about that.
And I mean, on the other end of the spectrum, if you're the type of person who sews for your family a lot, then why not have a selfish sewing goal?
Yeah, we definitely have a few listeners out there who have made a lot of things for their kids, or maybe are really into quilting and haven't done much garment sewing. Now is the time you're going to make something for yourself.
And finally, a goal that is related to sustainability could be really great. So using recycled fabric or materials or refashioning.
Absolutely. I have a bunch of things that I picked up in thrift stores over the years that I've been meaning to refashion into garments. So this is a good goal for me.
Mm-hmm. All right. So let's talk about some of those sewing challenges that can help our listeners achieve their goals.
Yeah. If you need a little bit of a push or you need some outer accountability, these challenges can be really, really helpful. So the first one that I wanted to touch on is Rochelle New's Make 9 series that's been running for a few years now. And it's a hashtag on Instagram with the year and then make 9. So it's hashtag 2018 make 9. And what it is sharing 9 things that you want to make in the next year. So instead of one thing a month, this breaks it down to give yourself a little bit more time. And it's a very casual commitment. You can choose any pattern you want, any project you want. Doesn't have to be garment sewing. 9 things that you want to make in the next year. It's so much fun to go through and look at everyone else's choices and just see what people are going to be up to. And you can check in on this throughout the year.
Yeah. And I really love that Rochelle calls it a gentle challenge for makers. That's like the tagline for the challenge. And in her description, she says, this is a really simple, really forgiving challenge that allows you to narrow down your focus and work towards some solid goals. Work at your own pace and pick any 9 projects you want. So I think this is a great idea.
Yeah, I did it last year and I think I made 6 of my 9. And the 3 that I didn't make were things that I just kind of lost interest in. And that will happen, like we mentioned before, and that's fine. The fact that I did 6 of the 9 is pretty amazing.
Yeah, it really is.
Yeah.
Okay, so there's also the menswear make 9.
Yeah, this one popped up recently. Allie Jackson started it. And it's basically the make 9 series, but for menswear. So hashtag menswear make 9 if you want to see what people are going to be up to.
So are you going to be doing 9 garments for Sam?
I mean, one of my goals for this year is definitely to make Sam some more clothes, partly because I do not need more clothes, obviously. But like I said, I love to practice my sewing. I want to level up my sewing game. And menswear is an area of sewing I don't have a lot of experience in. So it's kind of a win-win for both of us in that he really could use some more clothes.
And he hates shopping. He mentioned that in episode 20.
Yeah. And he, you know, he's in a more professional career setting now. And so I want him to have some clothes that really fit well that he's going to feel super confident in, because that can make all the difference.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I'm really excited about this. I've picked out 9 things. They're primarily Thread Theory patterns because I already have them. And I love her pattern line. So I'm very excited about making some men's clothes.
Awesome. And another one that we wrote down is Sew My Style. So we touched on this at the beginning of the episode. We'll link it in the show notes. But this is another challenge that you guys can participate in to level up your sewing game, help you achieve your goals. Mm-hmm. If you want to participate in a community challenge like this, it's a great one.
Yeah. And all of these challenges are optional, of course. They're optional to participate. They're also optional for a month by month basis. If you're not into certain patterns, maybe you want to just take the idea of the month, like Caroline's going to do with her 12 makes for the year, and say, well, maybe I'm not so into that particular thing, but I want to make something of that ilk.
Yeah. If you guys have any other community challenges that you know about that you'd like to tell us about, hit us up, give us a call or email us and let us know, and we'll touch on it in a future episode.
Yeah. And if you want to just tell somebody, you're itching to tell somebody your sewing goal, just shoot us a DM. We'd love to hear it.
We want to know your goals.
Okay. So setting a resolution or resolution is all well and good, but we all know that come February, we're going to be like, what sewing resolution? I don't remember that.
Well, you won't. No, actually, you will.
I might. I mean, like I said, I set many, many goals, but I'm getting better.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. It's easy to lose sight of your goal in January, come March or April. Mm-hmm. And I think that these are such positive, exciting, fun goals that we're talking about, and you want to try to stick to them. So we're going to give you guys some tips on how to stay motivated and accountable.
Yeah. So one of my favorite things to do with my sewing is to have an inspiration board. And you can have this on Pinterest, or you can gather images into a folder on your desktop, or you could create a Trello board, or you could print them out and make a collage. There's lots of different ways to make an inspiration board. It's just something that you can go back to that will remind you of all of the exciting projects you wanted to make.
I love this idea, and I think I'm going to adopt it myself while I'm planning out my 12 projects for the year. And I also think I'm going to come back to it for inspiration and to keep me motivated and excited about the projects. So definitely going to implement that myself. Another thing you can do is keep your upcoming fabric and patterns handy, maybe even on display.
Yes, I love this. I do this for my sewing. All of the projects that I'm working on in the next month or so, I have all of the fabrics on a shelf that's like at eye level. So I see them every day. And I have a little shelf on my wall where I put the patterns that I'm going to work on next. So they're like there. I'm seeing them all the time. Yes.
I love
that. That's next up.
Another thing would be keeping a checklist. So we really wanted to tell you guys about Beth from Sew DIY's free printable calendar. It is adorable. We love it so much. And we're going to link it in the show notes for you guys. Mm-hmm. But even just any kind of checklist that you want to make in a notebook, on a scrap piece of paper, you can set one up in Excel or Word for yourself. It's nice to put things down on paper and put them on display.
have a record.
Exactly. Have a record. It's so satisfying to just like check something off a list, isn't it?
Oh my God. I love checklists. Kind of a high.
I'm a huge fan of checklists. Every week I make a checklist for every day of the week and I move things around and it's flexible, but just that satisfaction of at the end of the day, check, 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 check. This is everything that I've accomplished. So having that in terms of sewing goals is going to be amazing and I cannot wait.
Yes. So definitely go check out that free printable calendar. It is amazing.
Another way to stay motivated and excited and accountable would be to sketch out your projects in your chosen fabric. So there are a few different sketchbooks that you can buy, like physical ones or print at home sketchbooks for planning projects that you can use for implementing this practice. Mm-hmm. Some examples would be the Colette Sewing Planner.
Yeah, that's a good one. It has a mixture of croquis, which are the body figures that you actually sketch on. And then also it's got arrangements for lists and a little place to put a swatch of fabric and that kind of thing. It's really geared towards sewists. Mm-hmm.
Cashmerette also has a curvy sewing sketchbook, which is pretty great. Mm-hmm. Gertie has a sketchbook.
I love her sketchbook. It's especially cool because the figures are kind of shadowy. So you really fill in the body type that you have. It's not like a concrete hard line sketch.
I like that. Yeah. There's also the Fashionary, which is quite popular. By Hen London, I believe, has a downloadable print at home sketchbook. There's also one from Athena Kaku, forgive us if we didn't pronounce that correctly, but Athena emailed us some information about her sewing planner. So we're going to link that in the show notes and you guys can check that out. Mm-hmm. It's got checklists. It's got sort of planning pages. It also incorporates some of the sewing challenges that are going on this year, like the Make Nine and the Sew My Style. So it's a really great, very useful tool that you can use.
Another way to stay motivated is to get together with your friends.
Yes, I can 100% advocate for this because this is how I got so much of my sewing done this year. We planned sewing days here in the studio. It forced me to get serious and get my things together so that I can be ready to sew during our sewing days.
Yeah. And if you don't have sewing friends in your area, I know a lot of you don't, whether it's because you're living in a more rural or isolated place, or it's just hard to find people in your city who sew, you can still get together with your friends online. You can talk to other people on Instagram. You can make new friends. You can connect with people. Don't forget to use your country and your city sewing hashtags because you might just find your sewing bestie and be able to have someone to meet up with IRL.
I love that. And I also just want to say that it doesn't have to be a sewing day. It can be something a little bit smaller scale, like a PDF taping party. We've done that before, like for an evening. And I have to say, like, just getting together with people who sew, whether it's in real life or online through Skype or FaceTime or whatever, it's so inspiring. I always come away from those types of evenings or days just like invigorated and thrilled and excited about upcoming projects. And it just kind of renews my love and zest for sewing.
Yeah.
And I know that you always say that when we're finished with our sewing days, like, oh my gosh, I'm so inspired. Like, it is so great. And I highly recommend that you find a way to connect with other people through sewing.
Mm-hmm. Make that happen. Maybe there's like a shop locally that you could take a class at, even if you don't need a class. Just being in that environment, like you said, is so amazing.
Okay. So I want to talk about our personal goals, our sewing goals, what we want to sew.
Oh my God. I mean,
I know that we both have some projects in mind that we're really excited about. So let's just like fire them off and get pumped about this year.
Okay.
Helen, what do you want to make?
I really want to make a raincoat.
Ooh.
I've never made a raincoat. I have a kit to make a raincoat that I bought from Thread Theory. It's like a waterproof fabric. And I bought the Kelly Anorak lining expansion. So I'm going to make a lined raincoat. It's a navy blue. It has like waterproof zippers. And oh my
God. That's exciting. And it sounds challenging.
Yes, it's going to be challenging. The Kelly Anorak is one of my, I think I've mentioned this before, but one of my all-time favorite projects. Super satisfying. Really feel like I leveled up my sewing game on that one with all the hardware and the details. And so I'm really excited to tackle it in an interesting fabric I've never worked with.
Awesome.
Yeah. Okay, go.
Okay, I want to make jeans.
All the jeans. We made jeans this year.
I know, but I have the I think I have like the pants bug. Like I am loving sewing pants. I think maybe it's because I have so much trouble finding pants that fit me in stores, and it's really not as hard as it seems. It's so much fun. It's so satisfying. And you know what? Like I just want to make all the pants, all the jeans. So one of my big goals is getting a pair of Ginger jeans. I want that classic fit of jean.
Not and leg prisons.
No leg prisons here. I'm probably going to do like a little bit of a wider leg just because that's what I like to wear these days. So I'll report back on that. But I think that's what I'm most excited about. So that's probably what I'll be working on for my big project in January.
Yay! Yeah. That's very exciting.
What about you? Next.
Okay, I want to make a tamarack jacket. I also have all the supplies for this. Because ever since I saw you wearing yours in Brooklyn when we were there, I was like, you know what? That's a great transitional jacket. And I think for spring, it's going to be perfect because, you know, in Vancouver, we have those cooler springs. So I think it's going to be a nice project because it has that quilting edge to it. And I've been talking a little bit about dipping my toe into quilting. So I'm going to start with the tamarack jacket.
It's a great quilting like primer because you do a little bit of quilting in the project, but it's not overwhelming. It's smaller pieces. You can kind of come up with your own design. And oh my gosh, I just love my tamarack. I wear it all the time. So yeah. I support that.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. So I'm going to put a little bit of pressure on our friend Jen Beeman because I am just dying to make the new Grainline Studio coat pattern that should be coming out. I mean, very soon. Mm-hmm. So I think as soon as that comes out, I'm going to fit it into my schedule, maybe for February, maybe I'll push my jeans back and do it in January. But I am so excited to finally make a coat. And she's previewed it a couple times on her Instagram. I love the style. It's exactly what I want. So I am just so pumped for that to come out.
Jen Beeman, the pressure's on.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. The other thing that I want to make this year is an underwire bra.
Ooh, exciting.
I took that bra making class at camp and confession, I never made a bra after that.
Oh, well, you've made Watson bras, but you never made an underwire
bra. I never made an underwire bra. And like, it wasn't because the class wasn't amazingly inspiring and I learned so much and I made a bra in that class that fit pretty well. So I don't like to make a couple adjustments. I don't know, just never got around to it.
Well, we're going to have a bra making day.
Mm-hmm. And you know what's going to make that so much easier?
What?
All the bra making supplies you're going to have in your shop.
Yes. My office is slowly filling up with bra making supplies because I've been placing some big orders and I'm so excited to do kits again in 2018. So look out for that, you guys. And we will definitely be doing a bra sewing day.
There are stacks of lace in so many colors.
It's very exciting. I'm excited for your patterns that are coming out in 2018. I mean, guys, I have to brag a little bit because Helen's my sewing bestie. I get a little sneak peek of her upcoming patterns. And because we're a similar size, a lot of the time I get to try them on. Mm-hmm. And I have to say there are 3 or 4 upcoming patterns that I am just dying to make, dying to share. You guys are going to love them. I'm not going to give you any more details because I can't be a big spoiler. But you know what, Helen?
I'm
so excited about your patterns.
I'm going to keep it pretty close to my chest too, but I'm very excited. There's one coming out end of January, early February for sure. It's almost done. And then I have a few more that are very much well underway and it's very exciting because I kind of had a bit of a slow start to my working from home and trying to get patterns out. But I feel like I'm finally getting the ball rolling and all of these things are coming together and 2018 is going to be huge.
Yay.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, I think that's pretty good. I'm going to try to work on my list over the next few days and maybe I'll put it in the show notes if I get it done on time.
Share it with our listeners and they can hold you accountable.
Yes. I need all that accountability.
Yeah.
All right. So what about other goals that we have that are a little bit more creative for the year? Because we like dabbling in other things.
Absolutely.
And I mean, we won't spend too much time on this because this is about sewing after all, but it's kind of fun to talk about the different things that we do creatively. Okay, so one thing that you and I are going to do is learn how to knit once and for all.
Once and for all.
I am tired of seeing all of you lovely people knitting up your cowls and sweaters and gloves.
Oh my gosh,
I'm just so jealous. And I know that once I really learn, I'm going to enjoy knitting. I feel that need to do something with my hands when I'm watching Netflix. And I would probably feel a lot less guilty about watching so much Netflix if I could knit while I was watching Netflix. Netflix, Netflix, Netflix.
Netflix, do you want to sponsor our podcast?
But yeah, I'm really excited. We're going to sign up for a class and it's going to be, what is it, every week for 4 weeks or something like that?
Yeah, it's like every Thursday night for a few hours for 3 or 4 weeks. It's, we're taking it at Bad Anna's.
Bad Anna's
wool shop
close to the office.
Yeah, it's just right up the street. So we're really excited about that. That's another example of giving ourselves accountability.
Yes.
Take a class. You have to show up.
I mean, I have knitting supplies. My mother gave me her mom's, my grandmother's needles, like this beautiful set of knitting needles. I've got yarn. I have everything I need. I've tried to teach myself. It just isn't working on its own. So I need to have a class to attend that's going to help me to learn. So I'm so pumped about learning to knit.
Yeah.
Oh my God. I'm so pumped.
We'll make sure that we share a little bit of that experience because we're going to go together.
Yeah. And then I am also going to take a pottery class with Shay. Yes.
So romantic.
I know. I'm so excited. I love pottery. I love that kind of handmade look with pottery, and I've wanted to learn how to do it for a really long time. And finally, I looked it up online, and there are some classes at the community center near where my apartment is. So I mentioned it to Shay, and he was like, I want to take a pottery class. And I was like, heck yeah, we're taking one together. So we're going to sign up for that soon. And hopefully, in the first half of 2018, I'll be learning how to make pottery.
That is so exciting.
Yeah, I'm really pumped. What about you? Anything else?
Well, one of my personal goals for the next year is to get better at playing guitar.
Ooh.
Because I love playing guitar. I've always loved singing. It's been a huge part of my life ever since I was a little kid. And I just don't make the time to practice. And I would really like to get to a point where if I'm in like a group of people who's singing and playing music that I can pick up my guitar and actually join in. So one of my goals for the year is to learn 12 new songs. So one song a month.
Ooh,
yeah. And by like by memory.
Oh, good for you.
Yeah. So I only have like 3 songs I can play by memory. So it'll be nice to expand that. And I'm going to pick easy songs. Like I kind of want to pick songs that are good sing-along songs that everybody knows. It won't be too difficult to work into my day. I just need to like find the time.
Mm-hmm. And do you have any other like personal goals that maybe we can share and try to keep each other accountable throughout the year?
Absolutely. Okay. So my other personal goal that I thought would be a fun one to share on this podcast is my push-up goal.
Ooh, yeah, that is a fun one.
I was telling Caroline about this already. It's a cool goal. I actually started a couple months ago, so I'm a little ahead of the game, but it's not too late for y'all to join in. I don't know what to call this challenge. Maybe you can help me.
Okay.
You do 5 push-ups a day. Easy peasy. 5 push-ups a day. If you need to do them on your knees, you do them on your knees. That's totally fine. You start off with 5 push-ups. You do that for January. Then February, you do 10 push-ups. If you're still on your knees, that's fine. You can stay on your knees.
10 push-ups a day.
10 push-ups a day. Then March, 15 push-ups. Do you see where I'm going with this?
Oh, man.
April, 20 push-ups. Okay, so every month you're adding 5. So by the end of the year, you're going to be able to do 60 push-ups.
A day.
A day.
And you're going to be ripped.
You're going to be so ripped, right? This is my plan.
This is funny because I always complain that I have no arm strength.
I think you do no arm strength. It's ridiculous.
I can't even do one push-up. On my knees, I can sort of do a push-up, but even then, it's like a really sad sight.
So oh my God. Yeah.
I should join in.
When I started this a couple months ago, I like couldn't make it through 5 push-ups. I could do like 3 and then I had to get down on my knees. And even then it was so sad. Like yeah. I was barely dipping my arms down and now I can do 10.
That's amazing.
Yeah. It's really working well and it's super easy. It takes like less than a minute to do this challenge. So set an alarm on your phone. Your push-up alarm goes off. You get down and you do your push-ups.
When do you do it?
Usually like in the evenings. Sam's been doing it too, so we do it together.
Oh, okay.
So he counts for me and I count for him.
I was going to say, it might be fun to do that like right when you get out of bed or not fun.
No, I mean, that's a good one too. I'm kind of a zombie when I get out of bed. I'm so crabby.
You're like, I don't want to do push-ups now. Oh my gosh. Okay, one big personal goal that I have for myself this year is to improve my Spanish.
Ooh.
Yeah, and I I learned Spanish when I was about 9 years old. I have family in Bolivia and I traveled there for a month. So I was completely immersed in that language. And I basically went from 0 to 100 in a month and I came back fluent. And ever since then, I've slowly over time lost it. But my grandfather, who is my last living grandparent, only speaks Spanish and French as well, but Spanish is his first language. And it's always been a little bit of a barrier with communicating the fact that my Spanish is really rusty. And sometimes I want to, you know, express something to him. And I find it so challenging because of that language barrier. And I'm just tired of it. And it's been years that I've been saying, I need to improve my Spanish. I need to improve my Spanish. Both of my parents are fluent. My brother is much more fluent than my sister or I. So I really want to get to that point where I feel like I can communicate with my grandfather really easily. And so that's my goal. So I think I'm going to either sign up for a class or do some sort of language exchange. I've tried apps and I've tried like computer programs. I just am not consistent with it and I have trouble sticking to it. So I know that I need that outer accountability in the form of either putting money into a class or having somebody else holding me accountable, like with a language exchange. So I'll report back.
I love this goal. Okay, we're going to try and keep each other accountable by checking in our catch-ups about how we're doing for our resolutions for the next year.
Okay.
Maybe we'll even story my push-ups.
Yeah. Sure. Okay. Let's talk about business goals.
Sure. Well, I mentioned that this year I have a lot of plans for new patterns. I have 3 now. I'd really like to get that to at least 6 in 2018. So I'm going to double my pattern range. I hope you guys are as excited about this as I am. It's going to be a big year, I think, for Helen's Closet. My primary goals is just to get more patterns out to you guys and to continue doing the things I'm doing, which is blogging about other people's patterns and celebrating this wonderful hobby and doing the Wednesday Weekly, which I love.
That sounds amazing.
It's going to be a good one.
So for me, I mean, 2017 was a huge year of growth for my business and it was amazing. And I'm really finding right now that I'm craving a little bit more organization and planning on the business front. I've sort of been doing things flying by the seat of my pants up until now. I don't plan very far ahead. I've never been the type of person to kind of plan in quarters. I mean, that's like feels like another language to me sometimes. So I really want, now that I have the help that I need, I've got somebody in the office every day, which has been absolutely incredible. I feel like I have that mind space to really sit down and think about big picture goals. So for me, I think 2018 is going to be about the big picture, about planning better, about putting different practices in place to make the day-to-day a little bit simpler for myself. And yeah, I'm really excited about that. So That's going to be great. And then along with that, I mean, definitely continuing to grow my inventory, diversify my inventory. I want to bring on more independent pattern companies. I want to bring on new kits. So I'm going to be doing lingerie kits again. I'd love to do jeans hardware kits, all kinds of things like that. And then also just like expanding my inventory of supplies. So I've got some workroom supplies in the shop, but I haven't restocked them in a while. So I just kind of want to do a little bit of a refresh in all of the different areas that aren't fabric so that I can have a really well-rounded selection of things in my shop so that people can kind of get everything that they need for a project in one place.
I love it.
Yeah. So, I mean, it feels like a lot of big goals and these are things that I've wanted to do for a while, but I'm feeling so refreshed and excited about the new year because that like pressure and overwhelm has lifted quite a bit now that I have the help that I need. So I'm feeling really ready to take on those new challenges for my business. So
you're such a boss lady. You're stepping back and looking at the big picture and thinking about Q1 and Q2.
Right? I know. I still get that like imposter syndrome, that feeling like, who am I to have this business? Who am I to have 2 employees that are on the payroll? You know, like who am I to have this office? But I've been doing this for 3 years now and I'm finally starting to feel like comfortable in this role and ready to continue growing. And I'm not always feeling like I'm catching up to the next thing. I'm feeling ready to plan ahead. Like I have that mind space for it. So it's pretty fun. It's pretty exciting.
Yeah. I mean, you've been doing so well in the last few months with fabric releasing, like there's every fabric week, coming out every week, and it's all amazing. So I hope that's going to continue. Yes,
definitely. Yeah. I love having fabric come out every week. I love being able to always have something fresh and new in the shop, something for everybody. It doesn't mean that I'm encouraging people to buy fabric every single week when it comes out. I mean, certainly I love it when that happens, but I think I love the idea of having something new and different every week so that I can appeal to a lot of different types of sewists, a lot of different projects. So I want to continue to do that for sure.
Yay.
Okay. I want to talk about podcast goals.
Me too.
Because let's be real. I mean, having a podcast has been so amazing, Helen. Mm-hmm. I love doing this with you. I plan to do it for many weeks and years to come.
Decades.
Decades. I'm in. But this is a time commitment. It's been a lot of work. I've honestly loved every minute. We call this a passion project. We say that to our family and friends all the time. It's my passion project, which makes it sound so glamorous. And in a way, it kind of is.
Yeah.
It has been everything I wanted and more. And even though it's been a lot of work, it's been a joy working with you. And I look forward to doing it in the future. So we are at the point now where we're like, okay, we've put this podcast out into the world. People are liking it. That's really exciting. Now we have to think about what is next for the podcast, right? Because this is like a living, breathing thing that's going to change and evolve, and we're ready for that. And what are we thinking for 2018?
Okay, we have a lot of ideas, yes. Much like we did when we started the show. And the show has evolved, whether or not you've felt it or not. Yeah. We're constantly looking at what we're doing and thinking about other things that we can incorporate. So we have a few ideas for 2018 that may or may not happen, but we thought we would just like throw it out there for you guys and see what sticks.
Okay, so first things first, people have asked us if we're going to ever take breaks. I mean, my vote is always no. What about you?
No.
I love doing this every week. I love listening to podcasts that come out every week. We've mentioned this before on the show. 2018 is going to be 52 new, fresh episodes for you guys. So that is definitely a given.
Yeah. Even if we take time off, like I've got a trip planned this year and we are just going to plan ahead and schedule it out and it's going to happen.
And we've done that in the past. I mean, with camp, we were both out of the office for almost 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And we managed to plan ahead and I think we can continue to do so. We do plan like 1 to 2 months in advance and we record in advance. So I'm not worried at all about that. I think that's a totally achievable goal. And we're definitely going to be releasing weekly episodes this year.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I love consistency. I think if you want to do anything really seriously, consistency is a huge part of that. So we take this podcast really seriously. We love that you guys look forward to it every Tuesday. That makes us so happy. So we want to make sure that's there for you.
Yeah. Okay. What about taking that to like another level?
Another level. Okay. Let's get real, guys. We've been thinking about the possibility of having sponsors and advertisers on the show.
Yeah. I mean, not thinking about it. I think we're planning on it. Mm-hmm. We love you guys. We love that you guys enjoy the podcast, but we want to be honest about the fact that it is a lot of work. It takes a lot of time. It's something that we want to be able to continue to do for a really long time. And to be able to do that, we need to figure out a way to get a little bit of income coming in for it, to just support our businesses, help us to grow, and help us to make this show week after week. That financial assistance is going to be really helpful, I think.
Yeah, it's going to allow us to do all sorts of things, to upgrade our equipment, to maintain our website. There are costs involved in having a podcast with web hosting, audio hosting, audio processing, all sorts of things.
Yeah. So I personally think that it's really exciting, the idea of having sponsors for the show. We're going to be mindful of our audience. We're going to let you guys know when that's going to start happening. But don't be surprised if you see a couple of little sponsorship slots getting filled this year. It's definitely on our list of goals and it's just going to help to move this podcast forward and support us for years to come.
Mm-hmm. And we're excited to go through the process. I mean, it's not a path that's just laid out. Like, we don't know how to get sponsors.
I know. We were talking about this before we started recording and Helen said something funny. She was like, you know, our families are asking us, are you going to monetize the podcast? And it's like, yes, I'm just going to wave the magic wand and it's just going to be monetized. But it doesn't work that way. There are steps involved and it's another thing that we have to think about and plan out. So what are some of the things that we need to do in terms of achieving this sponsorship goal?
Well, the podcast really is its own entity as much as it's related back to both of our businesses, Blackbird Fabrics and Helen's Closet. It doesn't belong to either of those things. It's its own thing. So we need to register this as its own business before we can start making money from it. So that's really step one. It's going to be a partnership.
Yeah, we'd be entering into a partnership, which is exciting.
Very exciting.
Very thrilled to do that with you.
Mm-hmm, me too. It's going to be so cool to have like another business.
Yeah.
You're going to have two businesses.
Yeah, right.
So that's going to be amazing. And then from what I understand, you make a media kit. So you gather all of your stats for your podcast together in one place, arrange it so it's easy to see who your listenership is, anything that you can glean about your audience from your stats, which is an external service that we pay for to see how you guys are listening, where you live. Generally, like obviously our listenership is mostly female, that kind of stuff. We pass that along to any potential sponsors and see if they're interested in reaching our audience.
Yeah.
So who do you think would be like ideal sponsor, like dream sponsor?
Ooh, dream sponsor. I mean, like Bernina.
Oh my God. That would be amazing.
I think like a sewing machine company or Craftsy.
Yeah, that would be good. Something like that. I mean, I think something that's related to our listeners and their interests would be the perfect fit.
Mm-hmm. But I don't necessarily think that that's the only way to go. Mm-hmm. I mean, the idea of having like MailChimp sponsor the podcast sounds pretty awesome to me too. Yeah. I mean, we both use MailChimp and we love it. And they are this big company and they sponsor a lot of podcasts. So having them sponsor our podcast would make it feel like this is, you know, a big thing. And mm-hmm. it is, right?
Yeah.
We want it to be.
I would definitely be into that. And I think we both also, because we listen to so many podcasts, because we have experienced so many different kinds of sponsorship with podcasts, we have preferences for how we want to go about it. There are some podcasts out there that have 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 advertisements, and that's a lot. I think we both want to keep it reasonable, mm-hmm. want to keep the ratio enjoyable for you guys and have like the right number of sponsors in there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we're definitely going to be mindful of that.
Anyways, we're going to see how it goes. We're going to keep you guys up to date on what's going on, and we always appreciate your feedback. So if you have thoughts on podcast sponsorship, please let us know.
Yeah. Okay. Another thing that we have thought about doing and that I think we're going to try out this year is some podcast swag.
Oh my God. I'm so excited. I love getting little things from podcasts or from shows to help support the show and have like that reminder or that advertisement that you're like a listener of that show. And I love seeing them on other people too. Like you see someone wearing a t-shirt from a podcast that you listen to. You're like, oh, I listen to that podcast too.
Yeah. Something like a patch or an enamel pin would be really fun.
Be so cute.
I mean, we have lots of ideas and we don't want to give too much away, mm-hmm. but let's just say that some cool swag is coming your way.
Mm-hmm. Okay, the other idea we had was like mini-sodes.
Yes, I love this idea. And as much as thinking about mini-sodes, oh my gosh, is this going to be a ton more work? Is it going to take up even more time? But I think that we can structure it in such a way that it isn't so much of a time burden on us and that it's going to add a lot of value for our listeners. I love the idea of doing mini-sodes because it just helps us to connect with you guys one more time a week. So something like answering listener questions with a short 10-minute mini-sode or, mm-hmm. I don't know.
Talking about like a specific sewing technique or maybe talking about a certain fabric and where it comes from.
Yes.
Those kind of things would be really fun to do, not a full episode on, but like just a little tiny one.
Yeah, because we do have so many ideas. I mean, you guys should see our brainstorming Evernote files. They're just pages and pages of goals and ideas and guest ideas and topic ideas. And I think that if we could do mini-sodes, it'll be a way for us to get to a lot of the things that might have been pushed aside because they're either not big enough to take up a full episode or that kind of thing.
Yeah, for sure. And if anyone doesn't know what a mini-sode is, it typically happens in between the regular episodes of a podcast. So we'll still have our regular hour, hour and a half-ish long podcast. And then maybe on Thursdays or Fridays, somewhere in between, the regular episodes, there would be a small episode that would drop into your feed so you could just listen to us chat for 10 minutes or so.
Yeah. So the other thing that we really want to do is a little survey so that we can get some more feedback from you guys. Mm-hmm. So we're going to be putting that together and it's going to be on lovetosewpodcast.com/survey by the time you guys hear this. And we would love it if you guys would check that out, fill it out. We'll leave it open for a little while. And we just really want some community feedback to help us shape the podcast in the future and figure out where we want to go next with this.
Yeah, for sure. So we're going to be asking things like, how do you feel about the idea of sponsorship? We're curious to know which kind of style of episode you like the best, because obviously we have the more business interview kind of style with pattern designers, fabric shop owners, that kind of thing. We have more community kind of episodes, like with people like Portia running the Refashioners or Amanda running BP Sovember. We have interviews with creative people like Katie from What Katie Sews or Jessica. And then we have episodes like this, which is just us chatting about something sewing related. So we know that you probably like them all a little bit, but we're curious to know which ones you would like to hear more of, which ones really get you excited about sewing, so that we can plan it out for the new year, because we only get 52. I wish we could do more.
I know, me too.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay. The last thing that I wanted to do this episode is to ask you if you had a word of the year for 2018.
Yes. I love the idea of a word of the year. It's not about having a word that's going to like dictate what your goal is, but it's more something that's just going to be at the back of your mind for the year, that's going to help you be a certain way versus do something or achieve something.
Yeah, it's almost like a mantra that you can repeat to yourself in moments where you're trying to decide maybe if you want to do a certain activity or you want to take on a project or you're trying to make a bigger decision like switching a job or going back to school or something like that. If you kind of have an idea of what your next year might hold or if you want to just embrace a certain feeling for the year, choosing a word can be so amazing. So 2017, I chose the word leap. And I knew generally in 2017 that I really wanted to go all in with Helen's Closet. I had a feeling it was coming. And so I chose the word leap because I knew it was going to encourage me in all of those moments where I had to make that choice to go for it and to remind myself, no, is this leaping? Am I leaping right now or am I holding myself back? And it can really help you to push on and achieve those goals that you have.
I love that.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. So what is your word for 2018?
My word for 2018 is grow. So I made the leap and now I really want to take this little like seedling of a business that I have and this podcast and my new sort of career and grow.
I love that. Mm-hmm. I love everything. Just full of love today.
Okay, what about you?
Okay, so this is my first time ever picking a word of the year. Thank you for encouraging me to do that. And the word that I chose is balance.
Good one.
I really want to have that word at the back of my mind this year because it's easy to get caught up in goals. It's easy to get caught up in the day-to-day workflow. This year has been challenging and exciting and busy, but I'm ready to take a step back and try to find a little bit more balance in my life. So that could be work-life balance, health balance, finding the time for self-care, food balance. Like, there's so many ways that I can apply balance to my day-to-day life. So I tend to be an all-in kind of person. And I think I need to find a way to just balance my goals and my relaxation. And I mean, there's just, I think it can apply in a lot of different ways. So I'm excited about the word balance.
I love it. It's perfect.
All right. So I hope that this episode has inspired you guys, helped you guys to feel like setting a goal for 2018 is more manageable and achievable. I hope that some of these tips helped you out.
Tag us in your posts about your sewing goals if you took something away from this episode or you want to pick a word for the year or something like that. Tag us and let us know. We would love to see that stuff.
Yes. And we are so excited, as you can tell, for what 2018 is going to bring for our businesses, but especially especially for this podcast. It's been such a treat to have the chance to be in your ears every week. And we're just thrilled that you guys are enjoying the podcast. And we just can't wait to see what 2018 brings. That's it for today's episode of Love to Sew. Helen, if listeners want to get in touch with you directly, how can they do that?
You can reach me on Instagram at Helen's_closet and check out my sewing patterns and blog at helenscloset.ca.
And you can follow me on Instagram at Blackbird Fabrics or visit my shop, blackbirdfabrics.com.
We're recording today in cold Vancouver, Canada, and you can find show notes for this episode at lovetosewpodcast.com.
We want to hear from you. If you have questions, comments, or ideas, leave us a voicemail. You can call us at 1-844-SEW-WHAT. That's 1-844-739-9428 or email us at hello@lovetosewpodcast.com.
We have a survey for you guys on our website. We would absolutely love to hear your thoughts on the podcast, and we want your help to shape the future of the show. Go to lovetosewpodcast.com/survey to fill out a quick form and share your thoughts. We would really appreciate it.
Yes, we would. And thank you guys so much for listening. We will talk to you next week.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Part of making a New Year's resolution is to like dream. I want to take the like out of that.
Dream big.
Is to like dream big.
You can edit it out.